Yeah, so I thought I'd take just a week off from Philippians, as Brother Wes has spared all the men for the next couple of weeks. So please, I encourage you, get all the fishing out of you and come back in 2 weeks so that we can, I'm going to say mildly, we can be encouraged by Wes to be the husbands that we're meant to be. But for today, we're going to be in the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, what we see at the beginning of the book of Acts is the Acts, it's as often called the Acts of the Apostles. Really, it's really the Acts of the Holy Spirit. We see the Spirit of God moving people as the church begins, as Jesus died, resurrected, and ascended to the Father's side. We see that manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God. We see miracles. We see wonders being accomplished. We see Matthias being added to the 11 apostles, and we see the Holy Spirit of God empowering people to speak in tongues. Yes, a foreign language, not gibberish, but a language that otherwise they did not know before. And of course, the apostle Peter himself explains that it's a prophecy that's been fulfilled. And as he begins this sermon in chapter 2, verse 14 to 21, then from chapter 2, verse 22 onwards in his sermon, Peter moves the focus away from signs and wonders to preach Jesus Christ and him alone crucified. He begins to preach the gospel to these people, telling them they made a big mistake about crucifying this Jesus guy. In fact, the apostle Peter was Calvinist. I'm going to prove it to you. He was a Calvinist. Calvin wasn't born yet, but Peter was a Calvinist. I'm going to prove it to you. Look at the book of Acts, chapter 2, from verse 22. Let's read it together and to verse 24. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus of Nazareth, who a man attested, displayed, in other words, to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know, this man delivered over by what? The predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. It's very Calvinistic. And you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men. And that's your responsibility now, and put him to death. But God raised him up, putting an end to an agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held by its power. Wow. This is where pretty much you will see the rest of the book of Acts going. It is the proclamation of the gospel. It is Jesus Christ be made known, where the apostles go and they preach the gospel everywhere, and they set up churches and all these amazing things. But in chapter 3 of the book of Acts, we see Peter doing this wonderful, amazing miracle of this man who was lame from his mother's womb. He had been lame, and the people are stirred up and they're amazed. They're amazed at this. But so turn to chapter 3. Let's read this a couple of verses together for a second, just as an introduction. Because Peter answers them back. They're amazed. They're amazed. They're amazed. Some of them are amazed for the wrong reasons, as we will see. But some people are amazed at what's happening, at this miracle. And Peter answers these people back in chapter 3, verse 12, by saying this. But when Peter saw this, he replied to the people, "Man of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Or why do you gaze at us as if by our own power or piety we made him walk?" Listen, it wasn't us. "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, to whom you delivered and disowned in the presence of Pilate when you had decided to release him. But you disowned the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer and granted to you. I put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, and a fact of which we are witnesses. On the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man you now see and know. And the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, just as your rulers did, but the things which God has announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Therefore, repent and return, that your sins may be wiped away, in order that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. What we see here, brothers and sisters, the beginning of the proclamation of the gospel, and what we're going to see here today, brothers and sisters, is this amazing boldness, this courage, this fearless people, the apostles who had such confidence in proclaiming Jesus Christ to a people who did not want to hear it. And we want to be encouraged this morning, brothers and sisters, because, listen, in the book of Acts, what we see is the beginning of the church age. This was a normal day for a Christian. This was normal. It was normal. This was like a 9-to-5 job for them. It was a daily living. In fact, it was more than a 9-to-5 job. It was a daily life. It was a lifestyle for them to proclaim Jesus Christ and Him alone crucified. And I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, because we want to understand something. When we proclaim Jesus, there's going to be persecution. Now have this in mind, so that we can actually proclaim Christ. And the apostles, by the way, they knew the cost of proclaiming Jesus Christ. They knew that. They walked with him, didn't they? They saw what happened to Jesus, his death, his resurrection, his mocking, his rejection, his was spat upon, and he was nailed to the tree. The apostles saw that. And as a side note, when you became a Christian in those days, listen to me, you didn't just lose a friend. You didn't just someone say, well, he's lost the plot. You lost status. You lost your family. You lost your inheritance. You were treated like a criminal. You had all the privileges taken away from you. And the apostles knew this. Now, I want you to notice something in chapter 3. If you're still there, I want you to notice where these apostles begin to preach. Because sometimes, brothers and sisters, we try and pick and choose how to preach and where to teach and who to speak to. Will that guy listen to me? No one wants to listen to the gospel. Let's get this straight, brothers and sisters. Nobody likes you when you speak the gospel. Right? Or is it just me? It must be me. No one likes me. Is this right? Because your heads are not moving. Well, let's have a look at chapter 3 and verse 1. Look at where the apostles began to preach, and Peter and John were going where? To the temple. They went into the temple. And in this day and age, we see that as crazy. Why would you do that? You know what? We got different ways of proclaiming the Gospels, you know. We invite people to church. We give them some a sack of tomatoes and some vegetables. Well, maybe, you know, there are different ways. It's too dangerous to do it the way they did it. Maybe we befriend them for like 10 years. You know, we don't really tell them that we're Christians. Every now and then we say, God bless you, when they sneeze. And eventually, you know what? That person will go, wow, hey, I want to be a Christian. Oh, man, wouldn't that be nice? I mean, wouldn't that be nice if that, I repent because you're so nice. You said, God bless you, when I sneezed. Listen, beloveds. The apostles, they knew where they were going. They knew they were evangelizing to a people that didn't want to listen. When we go door knocking, brothers and sisters, you are going to a people who do not want to hear the gospel. They don't want to hear it. You go to their homes and you say, Jesus Christ alone, and it's only His way. They don't want to hear it. Paul went to the temple. This was their holy ground. This is where they prayed. This is where they believed they loved their God. Guess what? When you're going and you're knocking on the door, guess what you're doing? You're going on their holy ground. This is their holy day. This is the day where they worship. Whether it's either football or having a barbecue, you're annoying them. You are annoying them. You say, brother, how is this encouraging? Well, let me tell you how this is encouraging. We don't live in a day, not yet anyway. So I want to encourage you, okay? Not discourage you. I want to encourage you because we don't really live at a day, at a time the way they did where they were actually about, they could be flogged, put in prison, be beat up, be stabbed, stoned. We don't live that at that time yet. So let's prepare ourselves so perhaps it may come. At best, someone's going to slam the door in our face and maybe spit at you if you're blessed, okay? But say, get out of here. But I want you to be encouraged, brothers and sisters, because no one will be saved unless they hear the gospel. People need to hear the gospel. Early believers knew this, and they went right into the belly of the beast. This would be like us encouraging you now to say, hey guys, let's go to the mosque. You know what? Let's go and tell everyone that Muhammad was a false prophet and that Allah is a false god. And to go to our neighbors who are Hindus and say, hey, there are no millions of gods. There's only one God. There's only one way. Jesus Christ and Him alone. So I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, this morning that Christ will engulf in you a desire and a passion to be reminded as to the reason why we are left behind. So I've titled this sermon, Courageous for the Gospel. For in chapter 4 this morning, we are in chapter 4 of the book of Acts. And let me read you the first 4 verses. And we read this. And I have 5 points for you. Don't worry, we're not going to take that long in the 5 points, but I have 5 things for you. And I'll read them to you as I go. Let me just read from verse 1. It says, as they were speaking to the people, they were preaching. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the message believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. So here's the first thing, the arrest of the apostles. That's the first point that we're going to look at. Whilst they are preaching, whilst they are teaching, whilst they are proclaiming Jesus Christ and Him alone crucified, they came to arrest them. While they're preaching Jesus, not after, just whilst they are talking, these 3 sets of people came and took them. They are glorifying God because the man was healed and they're still speaking about Him. And these people, rather than be amazed at that what Christ did through a man by making this man walk, they will rather kill them. There were many people there. By the way, you can read that in chapter 3, verse 8 to 11 in your own time. There were many people that came and saw this miracle of this lame man. Now, just think about this. Before this happened, these religious leaders would have thought to themselves, what are you talking about, this Jesus guy? Didn't we just kill him about like 8 weeks or so ago? Why are you talking about this Jesus? We killed him. He's dead. They thought the crucifixion was the end, right? But we know the crucifixion was only the beginning because he rose. And Peter, of course, and says there they were speaking. Peter was obviously the main speaker, but there would have been John there with him, speaking with him, right? Which this will mean to us as an application, brothers and sisters, there may be main speakers amongst you, amongst us, those who take initiative a whole lot more than others in actually preaching and teaching, but that does not mean that you stay silent, because God has called us all to actually proclaim and be witnesses for the Lord. And so what we see here are people seeing miracles of Jesus and wonders about this lame man. And you think that most of them will come to saving faith. Most of them will repent. But that's not always the case. And guess what? That's the same with us. It doesn't matter the works that people see in your life. Even though, I don't know about you, but I've had people in my own family say, man, I wish I had what Ralph and his wife have. They have peace and they have joy. They see the works and the wonders of Jesus Christ. But guess what? They reject the works and the wonders of Jesus Christ, just like these guys were. They want to feel the wounds like Thomas. They want to be in there. Don't be discouraged, because God can save. Sometimes it doesn't matter what you say to people. They will mock you. It is expected. I can say this to you, beloveds. Expect the worst when you're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you will never be disappointed. Expect the worst and you will never be disappointed. And just like these leaders through the time of Jesus that rejected his death or his resurrection, they were highly wrong. We cannot just, when we preach Christ, just leave at the death. Why? Because there was a resurrection. That's what they're getting annoyed at. They are getting annoyed that they're speaking about this Jesus being raised from the dead. And why should we preach this? Because if there is no resurrection, there is no hope for us. We don't preach about a man who's in the grave. Jesus is risen. Even though you might have people within our church who evangelize, we are all called to evangelize. We are called to be witnesses for Christ and not be silent. And so this persecution begins here in the book of Acts, and they are getting arrested right there. Two, who were the people who were making this arrest? Look at the verse again. As they were speaking, the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came upon them. So here's the priests. The first group we see are the priests, those who would conduct their temple service, those who would conduct the sacrifices, you know, the ministers of today. They were the leaders of the temple. They were in control of the rituals, and they oversaw the temple worship. And the priests here, they were in control. They were the religious leaders. Yet they rejected the salvation of Christ. They rejected the salvation of Christ, and they wanted the apostles to stop speaking about him, because if people believed in the apostles, then they would have lost their control. If anyone believes in Christ, they will lose their control. And what amazes me about this is that, I don't know about you, but you know, when you preach to people and you witness to people, it's amazing to me that the first people who actually start to reject the gospel truth are those who are supposed to give you the gospel truth. Do you understand that, right? I mean, I don't know what religion background you have, but if you say to a Catholic, hey, it's Christ alone crucified as salvation, they want to kill you. You tell that to a Greek Orthodox, they want to kill you. They are the ones who are supposed to hold the light of the truth of the gospel, and you're the first ones to actually want to crucify you. It's amazing to me. And so God sends out the apostles. to a people who were supposedly, listen, praising God and worshiping God so that they can come out of their false ideology of God and believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. God does the same with us, that we go out to all people, not just the priests and nuns and popes, but to all people. All people. And by the way, I believe all people have some sort of priesthood in them of self-righteousness. People are self-righteous, not just the priests are self-righteous in their thinking. And what happens, brothers and sisters, when you proclaim Jesus? Are you ready for this? You're going to be mocked. You're going to be persecuted. And people are going to say spiteful things about you. They don't like you. You know, you, my brothers and sisters, you're not very likable to the world. No one likes you. Welcome to the family of God. I like you. But out there, we are not liked. But Jesus said these wonderful, wonderful words. Blessed are those who have been what? Persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of God. And all those, the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, who desire to live a godly life, will suffer persecution. Brothers and sisters, though, we have an inheritance that's beyond our understanding. We may be shaken here for a little while by people, but your inheritance will never be shaken. Think of who we're representing. I'm not just talking about today. This is in general, okay? We're not talking about that the only way for you to evangelize is to do door knocking. We're not talking about that. It just happens to be today, okay? It's for everyday living. God had mercy on you, right? Let's show that mercy to others. We need to face this fear of going to people who don't want to hear the gospel. No one wants to hear the gospel. Just people vary from one to another. So here they are, these priests, they came, and then we got the second lots of people. Well, the second person is the captain of the temple guard. Now, this guy is like the police today. You know, he's like a ranked up next to the priest in authority. He was in charge in keeping the order of what was going on. In fact, he was the guy that they needed there to, you know, get rid of people. He was like a bouncer. He was in charge of what took place. He was the tough guy. And so it makes perfect sense to have him there. He's a tough guy, and he comes there with the priest to grab these guys. But just like the priest, he was also blinded with self-righteousness. He didn't recognize that Jesus Christ was Lord and he had risen from the grave, so he's got no problem to go and grab him. And then we got these other guys, the Sadducees. Look at the scripture, the Sadducees. I can speak to them for a long time, but listen, they were members of a wealthy family. They were few in number. And these guys, they came to arrest. They didn't believe in angels. They rejected the resurrection. And they were very much involved with the Roman authorities because they loved what they got, what they received. In fact, these people, it says here in 20, just let me read one verse first in Acts 23:8. It says, for the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, nor an angel, nor a spirit, but the Pharisees acknowledge them all. They were the type of people that you meet today who want constant proof of the supernatural. They are like the political people today. They were the thinkers. Strangely enough, when you meet people who believe there is a God, I find this really, really strange. You meet people who say they believe there is a God. Those of you who are Greek know this, yeah? Every Easter, what did the Greeks do when they raise a cup? They say Christos Anesti. They say Christ is risen. And in the very moment, once they say Christ is risen, You say to them, wow, can I tell you about Jesus? You know what they tell you? Nobody's come back and told us if there's anything beyond the grave. And I said, well, you just said Christ is risen in your own language. Aren't you celebrating Christ is risen? They do that just as a tradition. It just amazes me. And the same people who say Christ is risen turn around and say, when you die, mate, 6 foot under, you're eaten by worms and nothing happens to you. There is no life. How do we know? And I say, well, Christos Anesti, because Christ is risen. I mean, that's how we know. We know that there is life because Jesus did not stay in the grave. He was risen. And so these Sadducees here, they're like the people today who say, listen, you know, you can't think for yourself. You need this Bible stuff. You don't think outside the box. You're stuck in this book, man. We're in the 21st century. What's wrong with you? This is an old book. They're the smart ones and we're the babblers. You know, this is what these guys are like. They don't want the apostles to continue because they were scared that people will follow this message and they will lose their position and all their privileges. And then if you look at there in verse 1, it says, then they came upon them. The word there in Greek is they stood up and they attacked, they confronted them. They were not asking politely, could you please not talk to me about this Jesus? Could you please cut it out? I don't know why I sounded British then. Cut it out. They didn't do that. They went upon them and they attacked them. What does that mean to me, Ralph? Well, the apostles went in the dark, like I said. They knew exactly where they were going. They were going into the temple, but that knowledge of knowing this did not stop them from preaching the gospel, did it? They still continue to preach the gospel. Did they have fear? Perhaps. They were taken, they were beaten, and maybe they were going to be killed, but that didn't stop them. It's important for us to know this. Whatever obstacles we may have in our lives, we need to preach Jesus Christ and Him alone crucified. And by the way, can I just share a verse with you so you get encouraged and not discouraged? First of all, I know for a fact someone in our congregation was so adamant about Jesus. Stop talking to me about Jesus. I don't want to hear it. And this person will come to my house and throw my chairs. This person did not want to hear the gospel. In fact, when I preach the gospel to this person will go, ah, ha, 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 and laughed. This person is a mighty believer in the Lord today. This person loves God today. And why am I telling you this? Because sometimes we look at the external and we say there's no hope for that person. I want to encourage you, there is hope while there is breath in the lung of a person. And watch what happens here. In chapter 6, verse 7, watch this. And the word of God continued to increase and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And watch this. And great and many the priests became obedient to the faith. Did you get that? Great and many priests who wanted to kill the apostles became believers. This person wanted to kill me. This person became a believer, which we love dearly. Right? Let's understand something, brothers and sisters. Your self-righteous mum, your self-righteous dad and son, the disobedient father, whatever it is, there is hope. But that hope is in the proclamation of the gospel. It's not silent. It's not silent. And you're going to be mocked for it. Yes, sometimes some people might be nice enough if you get a Hindu because they believe in reincarnation and karma, they politely say, we don't want to hear it. That's nice. Enjoy it. But now when you get an Italian or a Greek, man, they are not that nice to you. Most unbelievers are not that nice to you. Enjoy if they're nice to you, but doesn't really usually happen. Let us not be discouraged, though, however, brothers and sisters, because at the end of the day, it is Christ who saves. Amen? But before we move on, let me just ask you this. Yes, these religious people rejected the gospel, and they heard it over and over again. Does that remind you of some people within our church? Those of you who are not saved yet, have you heard this before? You have heard it before? There's hope for you in Jesus Christ. Are you rejecting Christ because you don't want to give up your sinfulness? Repent! Believe in Christ and He will forgive you. Are you one who does not want to give up your recognition and acceptance? Repent and God will accept you. You want status? Repent and God will give you the greatest status. Do you want power? Repent and believe in the gospel, and you will have the power of the Holy Spirit. What are you seeking? Wealth? What is it? Repent, and you will have treasures in heaven. If you're in this predicament today, listen to me, little ones, young adults, older people, there is hope in faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. So, we come to the third point, the reason for this arrest. I mean, well, why were they arresting these guys? What have they done? Look at verse 2. Look at verse 2, brothers and sisters. Being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus, the resurrection from the dead. How dare you? Why? And you move on now. The Jews who had killed Jesus and the Sadducees who don't believe in the resurrection, they are disturbed. They are disturbed. This also got me thinking. Ever come across when you preach to an atheist who believes there is no God? He's suppressing the truth, bro. We know what the scripture says, he's suppressing the truth. Yet he gets so angry at you when you tell him Jesus died and resurrected. Why? Well, there has to be something in there that the conscience of God is stirring them, because they are by nature God haters. And the word they disturbed means they were so troubled, distressed. They were annoyed. They were annoyed, disturbed at the apostles because of this message of this Jesus guy who rose from the grave. And they weren't, by the way, they weren't just teaching. If you see there, it says they were proclaiming. They were announcing, declaring that this message is true. Whenever you hear a message being preached, that means you have to give an account for this now. You're accountable for rejecting the gospel every time you hear it. And they were not happy. Brothers, when we proclaim Jesus Christ, when we are witnesses for Jesus, we don't dump a whole bunch of information to them. We don't just blah, blah, this is what Leviticus said, that, you know, you have to cut out the ear. And we don't do that. We say to them, listen, this is a call, this is an emergency, and it's calling you to make a decision. This is urgent. I know sometimes we say, well, you know, people are not really annoyed at you, they're annoyed at the message. Well, there's truth in that. You know, it's the message. If you keep your mouth shut, no one's going to be annoyed at you. But you're the one who's actually telling the message. So people are, and it was the apostles who actually were enchained afterwards. People are going to be annoyed at you In fact, the more you desire to make Jesus Christ known, the more your children, your husbands, your wives, your mother, your father, your neighbor, the man in the street, and your boss are going to get annoyed at you. You want me to give you an example of what that looks like? Well, if you're at work and there's your boss and you're coming along, and oh, there's that annoying man. In fact, I was talking to a brother this week, talking about being annoying. He's so annoying that I was so blessed that he's annoying. He's preaching the gospel to his friends at work, and he made a group with them, and he showed me this on his phone. He made a group with them, and they're all checking it out because they're older generation. They don't understand how to work the phone, and they made this app, you know, no, WhatsApp, I think, I don't know, one of those apps. And they're all saying, hi, hi, hi. And my brother says, repent and believe in Jesus Christ. I mean, God bless him. Just repent. Okay, mate, you can't get any more straightforward than this. God bless his heart. I just thought that was awesome. And what did he cop? Backlash. Oh, he needs penance and he needs, well, that's another issue we'll talk about next time. But I'm grateful to God. Jesus Christ needs to be proclaimed. Because this Jesus, he's the one who did the miracle in a lame man. This Jesus is the one who did the miracle in your life. It's Jesus that did it. We just happen to be the blessed ones who proclaim the gospel. But Jesus does the miracle. Don't be under any delusions, brothers and sisters. People are going to just say all sorts of weird stuff about you as you preach Jesus Christ. Because we're basically telling people, brothers and sisters, when we tell others about their own religion, whatever it is, you're basically telling them, just like the apostles are telling these guys, everything you believe is a lie. It's all wrong. You know, I got to witness to a Muslim, my wife and I, in a cab one day. And he was explaining to me how he loves Jesus. I said, that's great. So you must believe that he's actually God, because that's the way I love him. Got to talk to him, got to share with him. He was really listening. Once I explained the gospel to him, I won't get into great details. He said to me, so what you're basically saying, that every Muslim who doesn't believe in the Jesus you believe is going to hell. Do you know what I said to him? Correct. Every Muslim who does not believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will go to hell. So expect backlash. We've got to expect that. How we say this, brothers and sisters, it's up to you, how you proclaim it. You know, you want to be gentle. But what you're telling people is you're offending them. You're saying everything that you believe is wrong because Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. You're making Jesus Christ the exclusive center of salvation. So you're saying whatever you've done, whatever you believed in, it's all wrong. Believe in Jesus Christ or die. Don't think, by the way, that every time, just let me say this, that you preach the gospel, people will fall flat on their faces and believe. Don't think that way. Because if that was the truth, if that's the case, then everyone should have bowed down when Jesus walked planet Earth. Amen? Right? I mean, everyone should have just bowed down. Just looking at Jesus, everyone should have bowed down. And if every time you preach the gospel, you know, people are going to believe and repent, that means even little Amy is a believer because she's heard the gospel. That means everyone here is a believer, but that's not the case. It doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen that way. But be encouraged, because the gospel must be preached. We have a great physician, and he chooses whom he wills, and yet he calls us. We're like the ambulance people who come to your house and they say, you've got an issue, right? You've got a problem. You might deny it sometimes, go, no, I'm all right. Yeah, I think you're having a heart attack, mate. No, I'm all right. It's just a heartbeat. I had too many coffees. He says, no. You need to go to the hospital, and you need to see a proper physician to fix this. You know what we are? We're those ambulance people. All we want to do is get people to get into this bandwagon so they can go to Jesus and be saved. Amen. That's what we're called to do. And now we come to the cruelty of this arrest. Look at verse 3. And they laid hands on them and put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening. The price of the gospel, the price of the gospel was prison, flogging. You notice it says there, it was already evening. This suggests that the apostles were preaching for a few hours, because on the ninth hour, this is when they prayed. This means it was 3 p.m. and they gathered for their rituals. And this got me thinking just a little bit. Maybe we need to preach a lot more for a bit longer. What do you guys think about that? We try to look at the time, how long we're preaching. I mean, these guys didn't stop. In fact, they didn't stop until they got arrested. If they didn't arrest them, they would have continued to preach. Sometimes our stomach goes and we want to hurry up. And just as a side note. And so basically the apostles were kept in prison until the next day. And it says they laid hands on them. In other words, they took them by force. And again, they forcefully took them and they beat them. The arrest was not pleasant, brothers and sisters, right? It wasn't like today's arrest. These days, if you're getting arrested by police, you touch me, man. I've got a camera here, there. They didn't have any cameras. They didn't have the rights that we have. And the cops go, would you please get out of the car, sir? All right, with the exception of a couple of bad cops here and there. But right now, cops, they're scared to even say something to you. That wasn't like that then. And they weren't put into a nice little cell with Vegemite toast, yeah? They were thrown into a prison like dogs. These are the apostles. Brothers and sisters, I want to say something to you, not to upset you, but to encourage you. You know there are brothers and sisters all over the world who are still being snatched from their families. They've been taken away from husbands and wives and been beat up for the gospel, been imprisoned and starved to death. It's still happening today. They are killed, left to starve. We have so much light in Australia still, brothers and sisters. We need to encourage one another before it gets dark. There is light here still. We need to deal with our selfish self-preservation of fear. We need to proclaim Jesus Christ and Him alone crucified. We need to be prepared, brothers and sisters, because the apostles showed us exactly how to do this. Not so much go into the synagogue, but what are we willing to pay to exalt Christ, to magnify the gospel? Are we just going to say, you know what, my ministry is just my son and my daughter at home. I preach to them. Sure, that's the beginning. You should start there. But should we leave it there? You got dying brothers and sisters and mothers and cousins. Go there and neighbors. Let's go everywhere. And the final point, brothers and sisters, look at this. Look at what happens in spite of. Look at verse 4. But many of those who heard the message believed. The number of men came to about 5,000. 5,000 people. Many heard the gospel and many believed. God, through His sovereign grace and His great love and His mercy and His power, He allowed the apostles, through that courage, through the boldness that they had, to bring many sons to glory. Can you think of a greater thing than your own salvation to see someone else come to faith? I cannot. I can't see anything else besides my own salvation to see a broken person come to saving faith. Oh, that God would give us this boldness. 5,000 people came. Imagine you enter into the kingdom of God and God says, you handed out 100 tracts and 50 of them believed. You knocked on 5 doors and 3 of them believed. You preached to your son and he believed. What is wrong with us? Jesus needs to be proclaimed no matter how fearful we are. In spite of our fear, in spite of our comfort, where we want to go home and watch Netflix and people are dying and going to hell, brothers and sisters. The persecution comes and the flogging comes when we proclaim Jesus Christ. And yet we have none of that here still in this country. How much more should we proclaim this Jesus? 5,000 souls were saved. The only way that these people were saved is because the apostles had courage and boldness to go into the belly of the beast and tell him what you're believing is wrong. This Jesus you crucified is not in the grave. He is risen. And he will give you life if you believe him. And how did these apostles answer this? Let me read something to you, brothers and sisters. I can start wrapping this up. In chapter 5, verse 40 to 42. How did the apostles answer to this? Because sometimes we say, oh, that person didn't want to hear the gospel. I'm not talking to them. They're just angry with me. What did the apostles do? Listen to this. They took his advice and after calling the apostles, they flogged them. And guess what they said to them? Stop talking about this Jesus guy. They ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and then they released them. So they went their way from the presence of the council. How? Rejoicing. Why? Because they considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. And guess what they did? Guess what they did? Did they go and play soccer? Did they go home and play the PlayStation or wash their cars or go shooting or go fishing? That's not what they did. It says, and every day where? They went back in the temple. Are you nuts? Are you crazy? You just went back to the same people who literally flogged you and put you in prison and beat you up. So you went back there. And we say, stop doing that. Stop talking to that guy. I've already preached him. Don't do it again. Are you crazy? Continue to preach because we don't know when God can allow that seed to germinate into eternal life. Why do we encourage you to continue to preach to your own family? Because you don't know when God will germinate that seed. Every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Man, why? Because we read in chapter 4, verse 12, and there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Buddha cannot save you. Good works cannot save you. Hare Krishna cannot save you. And Muhammad cannot save you. Nothing can save you but Jesus Christ alone. So what we've seen here in these few verses, brothers and sisters, is the hard heart of man who rejects God and wants to kill the people of God. But we also see the beautiful heart of God through the gospel by saving 5,000 souls. Which one is greater? God is greater, not man. God has changed these people. Brothers and sisters, the gospel hasn't changed. Repentance must be preached. Jesus sat with sinners and tax collectors. We often say that, but we fail to practice that in our daily living. Don't pick and choose who can come to faith. Don't think that the nice guy come to faith, because I can tell you now, those who came to faith that I know, including this man, were the hard cases. I was a hard case. In fact, I feel sorry for the believers who God brought my way. I was a hard case. So, brothers and sisters, how do we answer to this? Let us continue to be courageous for the gospel. Proclaim Him, take every opportunity to proclaim Jesus Christ and Him alone crucified. And I'm going to end with the quote that most of you know by Spurgeon. If sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped around their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, let it be filled in the teeth of our exertion. And let no one go unwarned and unprayed for. May we go out with this courage today, brothers and sisters, and every day alike. Father God, we come before you. We thank you. We thank you, Father, that you're a great God. You're a God who is merciful, great in power. You're greater than our hard hearts. We are the perfect example of what it means that the gospel has power to save. We are your trophies. So we pray today, Father, even through our sicknesses, even through our unhealthiness, and whatever our fears and whatever hinders us, Lord God, we will go out with mighty power and let people know that Jesus is not dead. He is risen from the grave, that they may have life in Him, that we will not fear man. What can man do to us? For the apostles knew that Christ was with them, and so do we. We know that you're with us. And for those of us who do not know you, oh, Father God, may this other seed that is sown on them not fall on the wayside where they just say some lunatic is yelling. But I'm pleading, God, that you will bring forth this seed into everlasting life to a dying child, young man, young woman, or an older person, that they may know Christ and enjoy Him forever. Amen.